Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome to Rambles. I'm Anita, and yeah, it looks like it was a few seconds of dead air, but thank you for listening. Anyway, this episode is loosely based off the last episode involving music business, not music business. So, because it deals with the business side, but this one deals with the consumer side, I guess. But anyway, I have heard so many people complain about music's not the same as it was in the 90s. And I get it, because I'm an 80s baby. So I remember when Michael Jackson videos were on Fox. Like, not Fox News because of what he did, but Fox, like, Married with Children. Okay, so that's not helping because some of you listeners may not remember Married with Children. But basically, the channel that shows The Simpsons and Family Guy. Yeah, that Fox. Not the other Fox. The Fox with Married with Children. So anyway, I can remember that. Or when Boys to Men, which some early, late, younger millennials consider the group to sing in background or singing with Mariah Carey on One Sweet Day. That's Boys to Men. And yeah, I had to say it like that because some early millennial and most of the people born in this century don't know who Boys to Men is. So, yeah, just to clarify. So, I have a pretty good perspective of it. And also, as a media person, and I will say this, the reason why music isn't as good as it was back then is because record labels don't have the money to develop the artist. Yeah, I said it. It is partially my fault as a consumer for making sure record labels don't have the money to develop their artist or give them a good song, because that's what artists and repertoire did. They made sure a singer, and I use that phrase loosely, okay, somebody with marginal singing talent, y'all know who I mean and what I mean, had a song that worked with said amount of talent. But that kind of person will not work for free. Or the Missy Elliott quote about doing something for free. So, yeah, you have to have the money to pay them. You have to have the money to make sure they can do interviews correctly, which is something Barry White, back during the Motown days, did very well. He trained them even on how to sit, like Emily Post etiquette, so they wouldn't do stupid stuff on TV, which, if you notice, they are, because they don't have the money to take an Emily Post class. Emily Post is expensive. But anyway, the reason they don't have that, again, my fault as a consumer. I didn't have to use Napster in the early 2000s. Well, okay, 99, which ironically was the year record labels made the most amount of money. It was like billions, not like the billions now, but I think it was like 14 billion. I don't remember the numbers. But that was like the highlight because you had NSYNC, you had Backstreet Boys selling millions a week. And when I say millions, I mean like no strings attached. Sold 1.7 million, and Backstreet Boys Millennium sold over a million. Not just like total Billboard, but just one, like individual artist, and I say individual loosely. So it's like we can spend this on these, we can make videos, and that's something else. They don't have music videos anymore. They're not as good. It costs money. I can remember in my media book in 2003, yeah, I know, almost 20 years ago, mentioning that a music video costs between $150,000 to $200,000. You really think a record label is going to spend that now? And assuming an artist released 3 or 4 singles from an album, okay, 3, that comes up to between $175,000 to $900,000. Yeah, they've had good years, but not 1999, 2000 good. And again, that was our fault. Nobody wants to hear that. But it's true. I put 90s R&B because I thought about this episode because I was listening to Pleasures You Like. Pleasures You Like came out a little before I started college. Some of the songs were released my freshman year of college. So that was John B's last album during his first time on Sony. You know, it was after he did the album Cool Relax. So yeah, it was after Cool Relax. And I loved it. And I was like, oh, I like this song. This reminds me of college. What? And I was thinking about that. And I realized there was money to develop him. I mean, working with Babyface, even now, it's not cheap. And this, he was Babyface's protege. Like, I still listen. I've been playing Bonafide on repeat. Not around the house, but on my phone. But I did buy it. I bought it off iTunes, which is another thing that sort of kind of killed it, because even though iTunes buffered Napster in a way, because now people could buy the songs individually but not have to go to the store to buy a single. So that helped. And FYI, according to Tommy Mottola's book, Sony was thinking about being bought by Steve Jobs, but he was like, nah. Indirectly, yeah, because I named Microsoft Apple and the whole being sued by the Beatles in the early 80s. But again, another topic, another day. And yeah, you can look it up. But it helped. They were making some money. And again, that's why there was like a resurgence of good artists. Okay, there was a resurgence of artists being developed because it was sinking. But speaking of syncing, then there was streaming. Now you can have a whole musical library every month at your fingertips for $10 a month. And artists aren't getting paid that much. And going back to the last episode about business, the labels are getting paid first because they own the masters. But because they're not making that much, they're going to be stingy with it. So that's why we are in the musical wasteland we are now. We're not putting the money towards the good artist. We're not even looking up the good artist. We're sort of lazy. And there's no sort of about it. Because your smartphone, I don't remember where I read this, but your smartphone carries more technology than it took to put a man in the moon 50 years ago. I can't believe that was 50 years ago. It was before I was born, but anyway. It was last week they mentioned that the Apollo 50th anniversary. So think about it like that. But instead of finding artists, you stick to the old ones and watch cat videos. I rarely watch a cat video. My friends have a cat. He likes me. He sort of claimed me. But back to the original subject. So instead of spending that $10 a month on buying an album, whether physical or digital, No. You spend it on the streaming, which is good. I'm not knocking streaming, but that money could be putting money towards an artist, their album, so you can have it. So they can negotiate and be able to, and record labels can make more of said artist instead of the artist that us who came of age in the 90s or before complain about. I do believe there are good artists now. Those artists, the label spent time. Bruno Mars. I'm a fan of Bruno Mars. I love Miguel. I like some of his stuff. I like his song Argent Point. I like the song Adored, even though it was played to death. But it took money to develop. He had talent, but just like anything else, I mean, you can have a diamond. And you know that phrase, diamond in the rough. And yeah, I'm quoting Aladdin and how many fairy tales, but it's true. What's the point? If you don't clean and spend the money to clean that diamond, you have an ugly piece of carbon. And as a female, I know that sounds like an insult, but it's true. And it is annoying when adults, because I am an adult, I'm almost 40, say, have this attitude about it. We'll spend the money on the albums. That's really it. As a consumer, most Western countries are capitalistic. So you literally, to quote, have to put your money where your mouth is. If you don't like that artist, don't spend money on them. You can stream to see, okay, let me see if this album is good. And then you find out by an artist you like, I don't know, Brian McKnight. I like Brian McKnight. I love his greatest hits. Okay, you listen to his album if it's available for streaming. Then you go to iTunes or any other service, because I use iTunes because I have an iPhone. Or go to the store. Yes, they still sell CDs in the store. And you buy their album. Even if you can't find it in stores, again, you can find it on Amazon. You can find it on Google, iTunes, because they're like the person who introduced it. And even going to their website and ordering. But if you don't, then please shut up. And I did put historic HBCU. For those who don't know, it's a historically black college and university. And I know somebody's going to be like, well, are there any non-HBCU is a historically white college? Because in the 1800s, when they were being made, most colleges were not letting black people in. So black people created their own colleges. So I'm just going to put that out there because a lot of people will say that. With no history, I mean, look at what was happening when they were integrating public schools and stuff in the 50s and busing. Yeah, they were throwing stuff at people and ostracizing them, and the National Guard had to come in. And during the time the HBCUs were made, that was the beginning of the KKK. So, that is my history lesson. And for Motown Sound, again, Berry Gordy had the money to develop it. People were buying albums. They were going to the concerts. Now people aren't. So you can't expect good music if there's no money to make it. And labels, if they don't see money being made from it, they're not going to do it. Because, again, it's a business. It's not a charity. And even then, charities have to ask businesses for money. They're look at how many nonprofits are like, thank you, Exxon, thank you, you know, Chevron. But the companies they're thanking have billions of dollars to spare or hundreds of millions of dollars to give. So as a consumer, use your buying power and not your mouth power complaining to buy the albums. By the artist you like. And yeah, you complain. Like that South Park episode where it's like they're complaining about money, but they can tour. Touring, but they have like a private jet. True. It's probably from touring and endorsement deals. And then we could get in a whole discussion about 360 deals and blah, blah, blah. But basically, for the artists that have sort of waned, yeah, they have to still have that power by their album sales so they can stay on a label. Because even though people complain about major labels and they've gotten smaller, major labels give a certain level of power. It's easier for an artist on Sony or Universal or any of their subsidiaries to be played on the radio, even though people don't really listen to the radio or be in stores or even be, I don't know, on the Today Show than an artist that's on YouTube, unless they have so many views. Otherwise, no. So anyway, as a consumer, it is my personal responsibility to spend my money on the artist I like, not just stream them, but buy their album so that the record label, so I can have another album by them. Or go to their concert. Well, if you can't go to their concert, at least buy their album. I'm not pushing my, you know, a particular artist. I'm just saying, if you like an artist, put your money where your mouth is, because at the end of the day, it is music business, not music and business with a small B. So anyway, yeah, I know I sound sleepy, but anyway, this is Rambles. I'm Anita. Got 10 seconds left. Thank you guys for listening. And, you know, enjoy the rest of your day. Okay, bye.